Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Money is never just money. For the believer, it is worship. It is obedience. It is stewardship. And yet it is also rent, transport, school fees, groceries, debt. There are few places where faith and finances collide more painfully than in this question. Should I be giving while I'm in debt? It's a question many Christians are afraid to say out loud because scripture calls us to generosity. Yet Proverbs also commands us to repay what we owe. So which instruction carries the loudest weight? When your salary enters your account and your obligations are already lined up, waiting. Is giving while indebted an act of faith or an act of poor stewardship? Is withholding giving prudence or disobedience? Tonight, we sit in this tension, not to judge it, but to understand it. And we're joined by a man who handles both scripture and financial wisdom with the kind of clarity that rearranges a person's thinking. Dr. Daniel Chunga. Dr. Chunga, welcome back to Business Sense. Please help us walk this tightrope between what honors God and what honors our commitments. How are you today?
Wow. Thank you, my dear sister. I am very good. I'm in high spirit today.
Yeah.
I'm ready to run up and down.
Absolutely love it.
Yes. You have brought in an itchy topic. Should I give to God? Should I worship God? Should I support the family, my neighbor, and the others when I am in debt?
And I'm happy that you're already there because I want us to start at the core, right?
Yes.
And the core for me is why this question of should I give while I'm in debt stirs so much guilt and confusion and pressure, especially among believers.
Wow. The issue of money is a very critical issue. Money is a dangerous weapon in the hands of a foolish man or woman. And money is a great blessing in the hands of the wise. Because money has potential to set things in place. When you have money, you can pay your rent, you can have good food, you can smile. Somehow, the financial stress is not there because life hinges upon money to settle certain things in order to create peace within you. And now, when you are in debt, it means your income is basically low, and your expected expenses are high. You try this way, that way, you are still in debt. You are basically living hand to mouth. You are there to screen which item needs to be settled now. Even when everything needs to be settled. But when you have limited money, that's when you start gleaning which one should be sorted out first. Which one is more urgent? Which one is more critical? Now, life like that is not a good life. Because pressure, financial pressure, can lead you to an early grave. You have stress, high blood pressure. Your immune system is low because of thinking, because of stress within you. Now, should you give when you are in debt? The answer is very straightforward.
Okay.
from a biblical point of view, and also from a perspective of health. You have to give. You have to give even when you are in debt to God and to those you owe. You just have that obligation. After all, how did you get into debt? That's the first question. Where did you miss it? Is it because of lifestyle? Is it because of competition? Or is it because of a misfortune that befell you, maybe a huge medical situation? Or probably you were caught up into a litigation matter involving your spouse or yourself or your children or your parents. And so you went off your way to borrow or sell assets. And making you now vulnerable, you are left in debt. Sometimes it's poor financial decisions that make people go into debt. Others is because of lifestyle, as I've already mentioned. So first of all, look at your scenario. What made me be where I am? What financial mistakes did I make? And then number two, here you are, you must work out a way to come out. Probably, I can give a scenario which is written in the Bible.
Okay.
In the Bible, Second Kings chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4 speaks about a widow who was caught up in debt. And this widow had two children. And this widow was married to a prophet, a man of God.
Yes.
And when this widow, of course, after the prophet died, he left a debt. And when this prophet left a debt, we are told the man of God, the lady who was in debt, the widow, was really in trouble. The owner of the money came forward to demand that he gets his money or sell the two children. Probably, yes. I can even read the text. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as slaves." Those days you owe, you are in debt. Then Elisha the prophet replied to her, "How can I help you?" You know the good thing about this woman? She cried out to Elisha. Meaning, she cried out to the man of God, and in actuality, she cried out to God.
Yes.
Then Elisha responded and said, "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" Sometimes our help is within our reach. We have assets in the house that are idle.
Yeah.
There are cars we are not using, sofas we are not using. And then the woman said, "Your servant has nothing there at all, except a little oil." Then Elisha said, "Go around, ask your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side." So this woman left and did what the prophet advised.
Mm-hmm.
Until all the jars were filled and there was no jar left, and then the oil stopped flowing.
Mm.
And then the man of God told her, go and sell the oil and pay your debts.
Mm.
From this biblical perspective, debt must be settled.
Mm.
Debt is not an excuse to stop providing for your family and even to stop returning tithes and offerings to God. And then the prophet advised, you and your sons can live on what is left. Mm-hmm. When you are in debt, it will distress the family. Distress you.
Yeah.
So the best is, if all the people owing were released, were liberated from giving to God, and to the cause, and to the needy, then no one would be able to give.
Mm.
Even when you are owing, you have an obligation to return the tithe according to Scripture. You have an obligation to return an offering. All that you do is to make things well, because two wrongs, we will never make one right.
Mm.
So you cannot excuse yourself from financial obligations that are attributed to God or the church or the government on the pretext that you are owing.
Yeah. I love that you've laid down the principle and the, I think it is the principle around this. And I do want us to get practical, because if we just theorize it, then people are going to be left feeling a little empty and we are going to be found wanting. So let's say, for example, somebody has goo gabs of debt. They owe every entity you can think of. And it's not even frivolous debts like clothing, stores, or anything, but they really owe significant debt and to essential services at that. And what I'm understanding from what you're saying is tithe and offering are a non-negotiable. In any case, tithe money is not your money. So when we are talking about the money you have left at your disposal for everything else, including giving, including debt repayments, it's on the 90% after God's money has been returned to him. So that's not even a part of the conversation, because that money is not yours. So we're not talking to thieves here. We're talking to people who are honestly trying to make it out while also being good citizens of God's kingdom and good community members. So somebody has got this debt and they're trying to balance. They've gotten into payment plans with several organizations to make sure that they're able to pay down this debt and still live. Because having debt doesn't mean that you don't have day-to-day living expenses. Should that person be prioritizing still giving to people who are poor, giving in any form other than returning or paying back the debts which they have to do, and being responsible in paying down living expenses? So should a person really be concerned about being a person who gives even when they are inundated with debts and their own expenses? Or can we, and I'm going to use a teaching from some man, I don't know if you know him, Dave Ramsey. In his teachings on financial wellness and financial wealth, he talks about the verse in the Bible that says, treat debts like, run from debts like the gazelle, or like do use gazelle speed to pay down debt, right? So there's mm-hmm. that where we are paying down that debt. So he says, pay down the debt, save, put down money aside and save. Pay down debt except for the mortgage, and then beef up those savings. And once you are solidly standing, then concern yourself with being generous with the overflow. So I guess my question with that whole talk is, it's great to be generous. It's good to be people who are giving, but should we concern ourselves with giving when we ourselves are drowning, or should we get out of debt so that we can have an abundance from which to give?
Well, that's, I get you very, very clearly. We need to be very practical here. You are owing. You have debts around you. The waters around the neck. Do you have to give?
Yeah.
I can tell you the secret of life. It depends what you have and what you give. But when you give, the law of nature is that when you give, it comes back to you.
Ooh,
it's not just it's not just a spiritual phenomenon. It's a practical.
Are you still there, Doc?
Real life situation we saw. Are you there?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. There was some interference, I know.
No
so
problem.
we reap what we sow. And even in a situation where you are owing, it depends on how much you can give out. But all of us, every day, we are receiving something from God, from other people, and it's just good in your situation to go off a little to give to someone, because the Bible in Acts 20 verse 35 says it is more blessed to give than to receive. So when you are owing, it does not really put you off so that you just concentrate on your debts. You have a life. While you are crying for a pair of shoes, someone has no foot where to put that shoe. So, in your own way, giving is life. The Dead Sea is dead because it has no outlet of its waters. So the real life situation, which is biblical and practical, is when you give, you receive. So it's just like a story I heard of a man who goes in the orchard and plucks up this mango fruit, and it was lovely, sparkling, appetizing. And instead of eating alone, he thought of giving his dear wife. And he gave the wife the mango, and the wife also thought of her son who was at school. When Junior came from school, the mother gave him this mango, and the junior was excited. Thank you, mommy. And along that day, the boy goes to play football. Evening came, they gathered at the table. After eating supper, the boy comes with a bag and said, "Papa, I have a surprise for you." What does the boy bring out? A mango fruit. They cut the mango, and they all ate. Meanwhile, the mango came from the father to the wife, and the husband to the wife, and the mother to the son. And at the end, they all ate. So what the law of nature says, you reap what you sow. So in your own situation, in your own small way, in your own financial doldrums, there could be a relative, there could be a church need, there could be a noble cause, you are required to give something. If you are able to give something within your indebtedness, it's a noble thing. However, I can maybe in 1 minute highlight how to come out of debt and also how to the effects of debt. So that when you see you are in debt, that does not mean it's your end of life. You can come out and be a blessing. Except we feel We can only come out of debt when we have a lot of money. No. It's basically you list down your debt in order of importance and urgency. You also make a personal commitment to repay in a small way. You just make a repayment plan. You also adjust your lifestyle. Because there are people, when they know they are owing, their lifestyle is still on top of the roof. You know you are owing. You cannot live life the normal way. So, and another mistake people make, they are owing, they start adding debt on top of what? Debt. That way, you cannot. So all that you do is look around your home. What assets can you give out so that you can be somewhere? And there are times when people are owing you. Why should you suffer when other people are owing you? Collect your receivables. Now, some debts, no matter how much you pray and how much you economize, you cannot clear them.
Yeah, exactly.
So you cannot until you come to a point where you say, let me find plan B. How can I increase my income? You increase your income, you'll be somewhere. And you also negotiate with the owners. Don't run away. Don't switch off the phone. Don't change SIM cards. You are owing. You are busy lying and saying, no, I had a funeral. No, I had a problem. I had a car stand. And all those things do not help you. And furthermore, within debt, we can say, God is always there to bail us out. He has a thousand ways in which he can help us if we trust in him. However, it must be clear, debts make you and I a slave. Debts do not give peace of mind. And debts have the potential to make you a perpetual liar. No at the funeral, no at the car accident. And some debts can force you to relocate. You live in South Africa. Live in Botswana.
Oh, for sure. You might even be tempted to change your identity altogether.
You change everything all because of debt. And there's no peace in a home where there's debt. It causes stress, and that's you true. Are basically a servant. So all in all, when you are in debt, know that you are in a net. And if it comes to obligations like statutory requirements, what the government requires of you if you are in a business, you have to meet those obligations. You have to find a way. If you are owing individuals, you have to find a way. If you are owing institutions, you have just to find a way. However, there are people on this planet who will continually owe until they are buried. And when they are buried, other people will have to settle their indebtedness. So does it mean because you are owing, you will not help someone needy? You will not be able to retain your offering and tithe? In your own situation, find a way in which you can retain tithes and offerings and help the needy so that you lead a balanced life. If I was talking to only Christians on this telecast or radio broadcast, I would say the Bible is clear that you have to meet your debts. There are people who think when they pray, God will forgive them because they have prayed, they have not given tithe and offering. Prayer cannot pay our debts.
It can't.
It can't. We have just to do our personal duty. And in fact, one of the celebrated writers by the name of Ellen G. White, she says, in Counsels on Stewardship, the portion that God has reserved for himself is not to be diverted to other purpose than that which he has specified. Let none feel at liberty to retain the tithe to use according to their judgment. They are not to use it for themselves in emergency, nor apply it as they see fit. By the way, when it comes to God, even when people mismanage at church, that's not your business. You is to give to God. And then she says, there are many who will not be blessed till they make restitution of tithe which they have withheld.
Oh, man.
God is waiting for you to redeem. Prayer is not intended to work any change in God. And prayer offered ever so often and ever so earnestly will never be accepted by God in the place of our tithe. Prayer will not pay our debt to God. So what I'm simply saying here, if we give liberation, so if you are owing anything, don't give, don't support your parents, don't pay the government, we will mislead people. So what is needed is that when you are in debt, you yourself struggle to come out. And as you are struggling to come out, there are those obligations that you can never do without. You have to do them in a special way. So to excuse anyone from being a blessing to other people, the aged, those who are vulnerable, the church, the government, will create a financial anarchy in the world.
I appreciate that perspective and that point of view. And I think what I'm gathering from what you're saying is, and I could be wrong, but we can expand on this. The idea that because we know that it is our responsibility and perhaps also something we do want to do as people is in our budget, make an allocation for generosity. And I know that I may be speaking to people whose finances are already stretched. Like you're thinking, I can't breathe anymore. I don't even have money for leisure and fun and clothes and all of those things. All I'm doing, or it seems like all I'm working for, is just paying debts and paying up expenses. It does feel like there's no room to breathe. But what I'm understanding is maybe a better way could be factoring in generosity in your budget. And if that really can't happen, being creative about how you can give, because we can also give our time. We can also dedicate a Sabbath afternoon or maybe even a day in the week where we sacrifice our time and we go help out in a local soup kitchen, or we go to an orphanage and we read to the children, or we are volunteering at an animal shelter. We can also give our clothes that are too small for us. There are so many ways that we can give that are not limited to money. And maybe what this does when you don't have money as a resource is you can think back, or you can creatively think at other resources that you can use to give. Maybe you are good at maths and science. You can offer up your time and your intellect to help students who are really struggling in those areas. There's so many ways to give. And if money is not the way that we can give, there are other ways that we can give too.
Correct. And you are really on point. It does not mean that when we are financially down, we cease to make life better. As you have mentioned, if you are a footballer or you are good at visitation, we can give our time to cheer up someone. Go to the hospital. Just see this patient. Give hope to those who are down. You can get to your neighbor. You can attend to funerals around you and just make life a better. Apart from money, you are able to do many other things. Of course, money, if it's there, it becomes an added advantage. So we cannot live a life of a maverick, a lonely life, or because your situation is unbearable. You can go off your way and give even a smile, even a word of cheer to someone who is discouraged.
For sure.
That way, we are able to give our time, we are able to give our money, we are able to give our talents to cheer up somebody. If you are a singer, why not play a song? If you're a writer, why not give somebody a book? And that makes life better.
For sure.
Yes, so giving, definitely, as you have said, it's a noble way. It's, we should plow back to the community. All that you do, as you have mentioned, there are things in a house. Actually, just to digress a bit, this week, at our workplace, we created a drop-in center where people who have old clothes or small clothes or big clothes, shoes, the things that are household items that are not being used, they are free to drive to our place, drop them there, and then the women, those involved in community service, the men and women, we give them, they go to the remote areas to give out to the more needy. The affluent have a lot of things that they throw away. Some they burn. Some they allow those trucks to just go and throw at the dump site. But if those things are put properly, they can relieve some pain somewhere. So when you cannot, when you don't have money, you can give something. When you have money, let that money also be used. You can give out money. So depending on what you have, giving is the essence of life. And Martin Luther says, I have held many things in my hands. And that which I held, I lost it. But that which I gave out to God and others, that I still have. So, going off our way to help is the essence of life.
Yeah.
Even sharing a meal, sharing a meal with someone, it is a good thing to give. For example, Mahatma Gandhi, the founding father of India, it is said that one day he was rushing to get on a train. As he was rushing to get on a train, his right shoe fell off his foot. He got on a train and sat in this compartment. Then he opened. The wind. Sure, there was interference. Are you there?
I'm here. Hello? I'm here.
Yes.
We're here, doctor.
Yes. So Mahatma Gandhi checked through the window and saw the other shoe down. And then to the marvel of everyone in the compartment, he got his left shoe and he threw it down where the other shoe was. And people ask, why are you doing this? He simply says, I want whosoever picks the other shoe makes use of the other shoe. But some of us, you are there in Pretoria, you go up to Durban with one shoe. To do what? So, putting a smile on the face of someone is what will make us happy in this life. So all that we need to do is basically to find something in life which we can give out to make the life of someone better than it was. For example, Mother Teresa says, unless life is lived for others, it is not worthwhile. And John Bunyan also said, you have not lived today. And lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. Now, those are powerful statements. Even someone says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Sure. So giving is the essence of life. Yeah, and you cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late.
That's true. Yeah. Now, and I remember I had a friend in high school who was obsessed with giving. She was a philanthropist at heart. And there was a time she had a drive, and I think we were donating clothes or something. I can't remember, but she made all of us print shirts. And what was written on that shirt really changed my mind and my heart on what we do for others. And it said, you make a living by what you earn or what you get, but you make a life by what you give.
Give, yes.
And I thought that was so powerful because, sure, everybody needs to make a living and we work to make a living. We get money to make a living, but we don't realize how much life we give and how we actually make someone's life by giving. Whether you gave your time or you gave a conversation to somebody who felt neglected and abandoned, or you gave clothes to someone who realized that those clothes are the ones they took to an interview and that changed their family's life. Whatever it is, when you give, you make a life. And I think that should be at the forefront of everything, because I don't want anyone to walk away from this conversation feeling an obligation is not the wrong word to use, but I don't want somebody to then start giving because they feel a certain kind of fear or a certain kind of judgment, or are carrying a belief that if they don't give, they won't be blessed by God. But I want them to walk away with the responsibility, a sense of responsibility, and maybe even a sense of joy in that when you give, you make someone's day, you make someone's year, you make someone's life. And that, as the idea, should be a better driver than if you don't give, if your palms aren't open, you will never have something to receive in your hand, or God won't bless you.
Correct. In fact, you have put it right. I've heard the story of a young man who was gazing at a window, and inside that shop were good shoes. And a woman passes by and sees this boy desperate, cracked feet, dusted feet, and asks the boy, boy, what are you doing? No, mommy, I'm just looking at the shoes. The way the boy appeared finished the whole story, and this woman takes the boy into the shop and asks him to try a shoe. She ended up buying 3 pairs of shoes and pairs of socks, and paid for the boy. And the boy was there learning to walk in shoes. He was bubbling with joy. And as the boy walks around, she runs back to the woman and said, Mama, thank you for this shoe. It's my first time to wear shoes in my life. I'm coming from a poor family. But Mama, I have a question. And the mother said, what's your question, young man? The boy asks this woman, are you the wife of God? Are you the wife of God? We want kind-hearted people in this world. And remember, this world is full of pain, full of discouragements. At least if one can reach out to lift up a soul, there are many who are contemplating suicide. There are many who have whose hearts are broken because of a relationship that could not be sustained. All these people need us to give our love to them, to give our support to them, so that they can live life and see life in another lens. That way we are going to be the happiest people in this life. Otherwise, giving is the essence of life. And I will share my own testimony. You know what? When I'm in ShopRite, I'm buying things. Maybe in front of me is this old woman with maybe 3-4 items struggling to pay. When I have my card, I always make it a must. I help someone. I would say, okay, what's the bill? They tell me the bill. I tell the lady selling or the young man, can you swipe for my mother? She swipes. And this lady, who is this man? I said, no, don't worry. I'm your pastor from Seventh Adventist Church. Well, thank you, pastor. Thank you. I have done this CC on several occasions. And I can tell you the secret. I have received bigger gifts than what I've given out. And I have lived to testify. When I give, I don't lack anything. There is a way God pays me back. And the motive is not for me to receive, is that if you give voluntarily, you leave everything to God to see how He can pay you for what you have done. Sure.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Even you, when you go to a shop, see maybe this old person or someone struggling to pay, said, no, no, I'm going to pay for you. I drive around the city. I come to a toll gate where I'm supposed to pay toll fees. Maybe I've changed. I even tell them, the person dealing, that the next two cars behind me, please pay for each car. Tell them I've paid for them. Bye-bye. I don't know whom I've helped, but it just gives me a sigh of satisfaction because I've done something for somebody. Sure.
I love that. And as we wrap up, Doc, for someone who's listening, who is actually overwhelmed, who is in debt, who is even ashamed, and also afraid of disappointing God and not being a generous human being, what is the first step toward financial alignment with biblical principles? What is it that you can offer them to get them back on track emotionally, to get them back on track spiritually, as well as financially?
Well, to someone really who is down, discouraged, down with debt, guilty because of wrong decisions sometimes, and sometimes because of situations, calamities that are beyond control that befell that person, I want them to know that that shouldn't be the end of life. God is not dead. God is alive. He sees our financial situations. He has bailed out people before in the Bible history. And if you are in such situation, I would ask you, number one, pray to God to help you come out. Don't underestimate God. God cannot be given economic sanctions. Pray to God. God is not landlocked. Just pray to God. He can help you. As you pray to God, Do what is humanly possible. Do what is humanly possible by being prudent, working hard, engaging others to get wisdom. How can I come out of this? To use your talents, to use your skills, to generate more income so as to pay back. But all in all, it may not happen in one day.
Yes, it's not going to happen in one day, in fact.
Yes, it's gradual. When you have a commitment,
yes,
and you live to that commitment, one day you look back with a smile. So I want to encourage someone out there, never give up. Keep trusting God. Make adjustments in your family. See how you can close some doors. And when you start small, you can be somewhere. There is light at the end of every human tunnel because God is for all and he has power to bring us back into alignment.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Thank you so much for this conversation. You know, it's been deeply liberating. And I think my final parting shots rather, or the things that I'm taking away from this, is God is not honored by our panic, and there's no need for us to panic. He is also not worshipped by our poor decisions. You know, when you started out, you said, what got you there? Because if you can sit down and be very honest about what got you there, then you can start making decisions that will start worshipping and honoring God. And the truth also is, if all we want to do is perform generosity from a place of fear or guilt or spiritual pressure, that does not honor God. So our mess and our chaos and our poor decisions and our performative action will not bring God the glory that he deserves, because he's a God of order, he's a God of wisdom, and he is a God who does not ask us to choose between obedience and responsibility. Because in actual fact, true obedience includes responsibility. And so I want to say to everybody who's listening, if you are giving faithfully, I pray that your heart remains pure. And if you are in a season where debt has tightened your world, may you remember that God sees your intentions and not just your income. And if you need to pause, if you need to restructure and breathe and rebuild, do it without shame, but don't do it in a lonesome way. Also think about other people who might be in your position. And if there are other ways that you can help, please do. Because generosity is not a single transaction. It is a posture of the heart. It is a way of giving. And it is a journey that we will walk our entire lives. Every year, every day, we will find ourselves needing to be generous in one way or another. And I think, in just in closing, for many, the most obedient thing you can do right now is to get your financial house in order so you can give freely, so you can give joyfully, and you can give sustainably in the future. But generosity is one thing that we can be very, very creative about. It is not limited to our finances. But if you can get to a place where you can financially give, oh, what a joy that will be. Thank you so much, Doc.
Thank you. May God and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And with that, I am Nompumelelo Mbonani, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercy tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.